Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. We was in 2 Peter this morning, chapter 3. On a total different note tonight, and I'm glad we can open our Bibles and find so many different subjects, so many different objects of study, and it doesn't matter how much you study them, there's always something fresh, there's always something new to learn and to give. And so tonight we'll be in chapter number 1 of the little short epistle of 2 Peter. And Peter starts out telling us who he is, a servant of the Lord. And this how that he has given to us like precious faith. That's a wonderful thing. And I believe that's saving faith, like precious faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 2. And it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come to You tonight. We thank You for the privilege of being in Your house. We thank You for being our God and helping us in all the things of life. Now, Father, as we take these verses tonight, I pray You to help us to understand these wonderful things that You have given to Your people, that You have showed us and have given unto us these precious, precious promises. Now, Lord, bless Your word tonight. Thank You for our time together around it. And we'll praise You for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse number 4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great, precious promises." The promises of God are so wonderful, and He tells us they are precious, they are great, and that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. These promises that God has given to each of us has made us to be partakers together. That means we are doing the same thing. It sort of goes back to verse number 1 there in 2 Peter 1. It says that we have obtained like precious faith. If the world only knew what we have, they would not mock us and they would not scoff against us. If the world only knew that we were trying to present to them a better way and a better life, they would accept that. But the cloud of sin has so darkened their heart and their minds that they act like sometimes we're trying to give a dose of castor oil or something when you talk to them about the Lord. And we're just really trying to help them. We're trying to show them and to give them some of these good things that God has given to us, and trying to get them to also obtain this like precious faith. And the faith that we have in Christ is a precious commodity. It's a precious thing that God has given to us. And it's through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And Peter then begins to tell us, and he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you." And if the world only knew what we had, then they could understand how good it is for them, because it is Christ that will forgive them of their sins. It is Christ that will give them the gift of the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. It is Christ that will give them peace that passes all understanding. And He's the one that will give satisfaction to life. And He's the one that will give us a conscience that is pure and joy unspeakable and full of glory. So I say, how do you know that He would do that for them? Well, He did that for me. And if you're saved, He's done that for you. He's blessed you with all these wonderful things, and we can tell them that Jesus loves them and died for them, and you can tell them that hell is a reality and it's real. It's not just a figment of imagination, and sometimes they just go off, and we wonder, why in the world do they not accept that? It's just simply because their hearts have been darkened to the truth. The Bible tells us they're on the broad way that leads to destruction. They're on that way that's an easy path. They're on that way that doesn't have a whole lot of problems as far as spiritual things concerned. They just sort of go with the flow, and sometimes they just don't think they want what we've got. But tonight I want us to think about some of the things we have. Some of these blessings. Some of us have come from a life of despair, and some have come from defilement, and all kind of things in our lives, and damnation that's ahead. And it's so great to know that Christ is our Savior. It's so great to know that we have a home in heaven, that we have a place that one day we're going to go to because of a common salvation that we have. Now, I use that word common, not in a wrong way. We have a common salvation, is that it's the same for everybody. There's not a salvation for the red and the yellow, and then a salvation for the white and the black. There's not a salvation for the man or the woman or the child. It's a common salvation for everyone that will come and believe and trust upon Him. And we have some great things that God has given unto us. The first thing that we mentioned here, the first thing that we look at, is found in verse number 1. And we have that, that, as I mentioned just a moment ago, we have a like precious faith. Faith brings us into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that is a very precious thing. You and I tonight, we are fellow servants with the Lord, and we are a part of His family. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God." That's who Jesus is. He was chosen of the Lord to be the that precious one that would give unto us life eternal. And those verses that go on in chapter number 2 and verse number 4 there in 1 Peter, it tells us that we have these things given to us because of Him being who He really is. Notice there, 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 4, we read a bit of that. He is disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Like precious faith comes from a precious Savior, from a precious Lord. And He says that ye also, as lively stones, are built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up the spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, it is contained in the Scripture. I'm glad the Scripture contains some things that we can know and that we can apply to our heart. And we find here that I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. Again, speaking of Christ. And he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. He that believeth on Him is not going to be condemned. He's going to have life eternal through Jesus Christ. And so tonight, one of the great things that we have in the Lord is this wonderful, precious faith. What would your life be tonight without Jesus Christ? Have you ever thought about that? I've tried to think about that, and I've been saved a long time, and sometimes it's difficult maybe to really realize what life could be without the Lord, because sometimes we get so used to what we have that we forget what we might have had if it was not for Him. But what would our life be like without Jesus Christ? We of all men would be terribly miserable. We'd be on our road to hell. We'd be headed toward a reality that is a sobering thought, that when you die without God, you die without hope, and then you go to a place where you're always dying, never to have life. And what a terrible thing. But you and I tonight, we have a precious faith. We have something that's worth something. We have something that's real, something that will take us through the trials and the heartaches and the struggles and the tears that come to our face and the heartaches that come to our life. It'll take us through that because we have a precious faith that comes from Him. It brings a fellowship with the saints. It brings a joy. It's a like precious faith. Every one of us in here tonight, whether we're man, woman, boy, or girl, every one of us in here that are saved, we have the same kind of faith. Now, I'm not talking about living faith. I'm talking about saving faith. Because there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what you call yourself, doesn't matter how you deal with things. There's only one way to go to heaven, and that's through the Lord. That's a precious faith, and it's like precious for everyone. Everyone that gets saved and goes to heaven is going to go just like I did. I've heard people say, and maybe you have, but I've heard people say, well, they're going to heaven. They all want to go to heaven. They're just taking a different route. I'm sorry, there's not but one route, and that's Him. There's not but one way, and that's Him. He says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through the Lord." And so there's not a many different ways. There's one heaven. The Scripture is very clear on that. There's one Lord, one faith. There's a lot of ones there in the book of Ephesians. And there's one place we're going. It's called heaven. And there's only one way to get there. There's not a Baptist way and a Methodist way and a Presbyterian way. And there's not a Muslim way. There's only one way, that's Jesus Christ. And He is the only way to glory. And when we get saved, and when we're born again, it doesn't matter who we are. If you meet a believer halfway around the world, you have like precious faith. There's a kinship there. When we went to the Philippines those couple of times, there's some precious people there that literally we fell in love with because of the faith they had in Christ. And we have a like faith because we've all come to know the Lord the same way. And it's a common salvation. It's a salvation that's real. And He's the head of it. He's the foundation of it. Jude chapter 3 says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation." It's a common thing. It's a common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And so there's a time here that we are literally to contend for this precious faith that God has given to us. If we don't contend for it, we may lose the reality of it to our loved ones and our friends and those that come after us as children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, those that follow us. There is a common thread that we must have to tell them the old story of salvation. Titus chapter 1 verse 4 says to Titus, my own son, after the common faith. He's not talking about something just common. He's talking about something that's the same. And so he says, Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that precious faith, that common salvation, that common faith is all grounded in the foundation of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful blessing that we have. That's a wonderful promise that He has given to us. He says here that He has given to us exceeding great and precious promises that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. These promises that God has given us make it possible for us to be a partaker, for us to serve together, for us to have that common precious faith, that like precious faith together with one another. And so we have that in verse number 1, the first part of it. The second part of verse number 1, it tells us here that which with us through the righteousness of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have a wonderful standing with the Lord. Somebody might question my righteousness, but they can't question His righteousness. Somebody might question my deeds, but they can't question His deeds. Someone might question my words, but we can't question His words. And so He tells us here that we have faith which is through the righteousness of God and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have an unquestionable standing. I'm a child of God. That's a wonderful position that we have. And the righteousness that God gives to us. Paul says that in my flesh dwells no good thing. In this flesh left to itself, there's nothing good about it. But I'll tell you what, when the righteousness of God comes upon you and the righteousness of the Lord is manifest to you, then I find that we can perform certain things that maybe we couldn't have before. Romans 7:18, Paul says it this way, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." I want to do good, I want to do right, but I have a problem doing that. Why? Because we're still in the flesh. But I'm glad, thank God, I have the Holy Spirit. When I got saved, He moved in, He became a part of me, and I've got the nature of God. I've got a spiritual nature now, not just a fleshly nature. And Paul said, sometimes my standing is not well. Sometimes my work is not good. Sometimes what I want to do, I can't do, and I find it impossible. But I'll tell you what, you can never question the ability of our God. You can never question the standing of our Lord. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 14, says that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, which in His times He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate and King of kings and Lord of lords. Well, we don't have to wonder about who He is. We don't have to wonder about how strong He is and what position He holds. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. It says, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. And here we find that as Paul writes to Timothy, Paul is elevating who God is. He's elevating who the Lord is. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. And He's the one that hath immortality, and in Him dwells light. And no man can see Him. No man can hold Him. But I'm glad, thank God, we can honor Him because He's everlasting. He's from old to new. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He is our God. And the standing that I have with Christ is that He upholds me and He uplifts me and He helps me in everything that I do. And when I take my eyes off of Him, I'm just a person that is not able to perform what needs to be done. Paul says, nothing in my flesh is good. Sometimes I hear people talk about all the good things they accomplish, and they never give God any credit at all. That's a dangerous place to be, because the only things that we ever do is because of Him. The only thing we ever accomplish is because of what He works through us. May we never get to the point of saying, look what I've done. Look what we have done. Look how we have progressed. And look what has taken place. And look at all the good things that we've got. Well, the only thing that we have is the Lord. And if we don't use and have that knowledge of truth in our life, then we're in trouble with Him. And so you may question a lot of things, but you can't question who God is. You can't question who the righteous Lord is. And everything that's ever been accomplished, somebody said, the Lord's been good to me. I heard Brother Dwayne said to Brother Jay tonight, he said, I hope when I'm your age, I'm in as good a shape as you're in. And Brother Jay said, the Lord's been good to me. Boy, what an answer. The Lord's been good to me. Somebody talks about Grace Baptist Church. I believe we ought to say the Lord's been good to us. He's blessed us. It's nothing that we've done. It's nothing that we've accomplished. It's what God's done through this church. And the reality of telling people literally around the world that Jesus is the Savior. Who would have ever thought 40 years ago that Grace Baptist Church would have touched as many lives as it's touched? I've put some things on my Facebook, and there's people that I don't know. They said, I remember going to Grace Baptist Church 40 years ago. Still call it my home. And I don't even know who they are. And I thought, man, there's a lot of people that have been touched. Can you imagine when we get to heaven how many people are going to come and say, I'm glad somebody was faithful to tell the gospel. We have men around this country, around this world that are preaching the Word of God. And so thankful and so blessed of the Lord. And so our standing is because of His blessings upon us. We're getting ready to have the 40th anniversary camp meeting. Last Sunday we celebrated the 40th anniversary, and Brother Jay was telling me tonight that on October the 4th, is that right, October 4th? On October the 4th is the first service they had in that little cabinet shop down the road. I mean, those are things that you think about and are blessed. And I've got some things I'm going to show. I've got a PowerPoint that's going to run through a lot of pictures. And I've got a picture of that old cabinet shop. And, well, I tell you what, I looked at that and I told Sharon, I said, I'll tell you what, it wasn't because of anything beautiful that people would be attracted to this. You that were there know that. Well, you know what's the beautiful thing about it? It's who we preach. It's who's in our heart. And you go from that point to this point. You go and you look at how God started it and how God put it all together and where we are now. God's been good. It's all because of Him. Brother Downs told me the other day, and I appreciated it very, very much. He said, I have a real strong attachment to Grace Baptist Church, and I can understand that. And he emphasized, he said, I really mean this, that I'm proud of what the Lord has done. He said, the church is just exactly where I think it would have been if I could have been there. And he said, I rejoice in the blessings of God upon Grace Baptist. And I tell you what, we need to rejoice in those blessings. Church still believes what it believed 40 years ago. I mean, we get criticized because we don't ever change. Well, I don't see no word change. Get criticized because we don't get a different Bible. I don't know of any other. Get criticized because we don't sing different kinds of songs. Well, I don't know any other. And God has blessed it. And I'll tell you what, I've seen some of this crowd that's made the changes. And they're locking their doors and they're turning it under and they're forgetting about it. I don't want that kind of change. I don't want that kind of progress. God's been good to us and His standing is there. And we build upon the faith that is very precious and a common salvation. These are things that He has given to us. Verse number 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. Wonderful twins there. He says, grace and peace be multiplied. Well, He gives you grace to endure the problems of life. Grace and peace multiply. We know what multiplication is. I'll tell you what, when I was in school, I didn't think I was ever going to learn multiplication. My mom and dad didn't think I was either. And it was difficult for me. My dad said, son, if you ever get it, it'll be easy from there on. I said, boy, it's sure hard getting it, though. Multiply. That means more and more. You multiply, and that means your answer is more than what you started with because you're multiplying. And here we find that the Lord says, grace and peace be multiplied. That word grace is abundant. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 4:15. Abundant grace. I'm glad not only is it abundant, I thank God it's available. Grace is available to all that will believe. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is no temptation taking you that such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I'm glad grace is available, whatever comes our way. Someone says there's saving grace, there's serving grace, there's living grace, there's leaving grace. Everything's connected with grace. We leave this world one day and it's all because of Him. Grace be multiplied. Grace and peace be multiplied, here He says. Through the knowledge of God. That's the only way it's going to expand. That's the only way it's going to be more. It's through the knowledge of God. And the only way you're going to have the knowledge of God is to get in the book of God. Let Him speak to your heart. Let Him multiply it in your life. Grace is sufficient. The Lord told Paul one day, many long days ago, my grace is sufficient. Paul was struggling with some issues of his life and he was trying to get the Lord to take that thorn in his flesh away. And the Lord answered him. He said, my grace is sufficient. Whatever comes our way, I'm glad He makes a way of escape. My strength is made perfect in weakness, Paul says. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity. Rather than to complain about it, Paul says, I'm going to glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Sometimes I find myself griping about my infirmities. I find myself just getting down in the dumps because things just not what I want them to be. And I got a sore throat this afternoon. I just griping about it. I said, here it is right here before camp meeting. It does it every year. And I don't want that, but you gripe about infirmities. And that's something minor compared to a lot of people. We gripe about our aches or pains. We gripe about all those things. But Paul says, I asked the Lord more than one time. He said, I asked Him to remove that infirmity, remove that thorn of the flesh. And the Lord's answer was, my grace is sufficient. You can bear it. And so Paul says, rather than to pray about it anymore, he said, I'm just going to glory in my infirmities and that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Sometimes we can get so centered on ourselves that we forget about Him. Sometimes we get so centered about how we feel that we forget about how He feels. We get so centered about us that we forget about others. And Paul said, I want to glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We have the grace of God to endure what comes our way. Grace be multiplied. Peace and have peace to trust Him, to honor Him, to know Him, peace in the midst of a storm. It has been said more times than one, you're either in a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you're getting ready to go into a storm. That's what life is. Boy, don't you like the time of coming out of it? Isn't it refreshing to see the sunlight break through the clouds? Isn't it wonderful to see the cool, feel the cool breeze hit us after the storm's come by? We've escaped it. We've come out okay. Now, it didn't seem okay right at the moment, and we didn't wonder sure how it was going to be right at that time, but when we go through it, then we realize God is in there with us. Peace in the midst of the storm. The storms physically and spiritually come our way. Miss Steele is facing a storm. And she's facing it, I think, better than I could. Today probably was the last good day that she's going to have for a while. She told me the other day that she's going to start, of course, the chemotherapy tomorrow. But she said they're going to pump her full of chemotherapy for 48 hours. I don't know how they're going to do that. I don't know all the details about that. But it's not going to be good. There's a storm coming. You go into it, you see it, you know it's there. Thank God for His grace. You know what's going to take place. And she understands. She said, I know too much. Of course, she's a registered nurse. She said, I know too much of what... She said, sometimes being ignorant on subjects is bliss. She said, I know what's going to take place. So she sees the storm. She... One before long is going to be in the midst of the storm, like you and I sometimes. Oh, but thank God He can be there with us. He's that sweet peace in the storm. Not only storms, but sorrows. I think of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. That was a sorrowful time. He had died, but Jesus was there. Oh, He maybe came what they thought was too late, but it wasn't too late. He's right where He should have been. The song says He came right on time. We may think He came 4 days late, but He said, I'm here on time. He's going to manifest. He's going to show Himself. He's going to show the glory of the Lord. Peace in the midst of storms. Peace in the midst of sorrows. Peace in the midst of confusions. Confusion comes to us. We don't know what to do. We don't know which way to turn. We don't know where to go. I'm glad the peace of God can help us. He's there to give us those things. Verse number 3. According as we have divine power, we have the power. The greatest power has ever been, the strongest power that ever has been is the power of God. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things. I mean everything, the things that we need are at our disposal through the power of God. What a wonderful, precious promise. Power to overcome the world, power to overcome evil, power to overcome Satan. And thank God, power to overcome self. I don't have a whole lot of trouble with anybody but me. But I sure have a lot of trouble with me. And if you're honest, you'll say the same thing. It's not the enemies out there. It's not the drunkard out there. It's not that crowd that bothers me. It's me that bothers me too much. I'm glad He gives us the power to even overcome self. He tells us in Romans 12:21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That means we can. It means we can do that if He tells us to do that. We can overcome that wicked one. 1 John 2:13 says, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. He pretty well covers it all. He said, I've wrote unto the fathers, I write unto the young men, I write to the little children, and we're known of God. I have the power of God. May God help us tonight to understand these are precious things that He gives to us as a believer. Now the world out there we're trying to tell about, they have no idea what you're talking about. They have no idea what you're trying to give them to understand. They don't want it. The fool has set in his heart there is no God. And the fool is saying in his heart, I don't want God. And the fool says no to God. And all the Lord's trying to do is offer them the better life, the best life. Verse number 4 says, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Here we have the reality of a changed life. Just have a life that's been changed. Can you imagine? That's why I asked earlier, what would we be without the Lord? Where would we be tonight without the grace of God? Where would we be if it was not for salvation that was given to us and we trusted Him? Where would we be tonight? Because He changed our life. He changed our attitude. He changed our ways. He changed everything about us. Oh, and thank God He changed our destiny. I'm going to heaven. And there's no way of escaping going to heaven when you trust the Lord. I'm going there because of His grace. We have these things, a reality. Romans 1:17 says, for wherein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as written, the just shall live by faith. And so tonight we are living a changed life by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, that favorite famous verse says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's that new life, that changed life that comes. What a wonderful promise that is. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I'm going to be, but I'm not what I was. And if you're saved, you're not what you used to be. There's a change that took place in your life. I personally believe, and people can argue me all they want to, I believe the Bible teaches when a person gets saved, there's a change that takes place. Now, you can make a profession and no change will happen. You can sign a card and you can be baptized and you can do all the things that religious and the book tells us to do. You can do all those things and still not have a changed life. But when you meet God, old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. There's a change that takes place. And I believe it's an immediate change. Now, you say, well, now, Brother R., do you believe that as soon as I get saved, everything's going to be like it ought to be, and immediately all those things are going to change? No, but there's some things going to change. And then we're in the process of growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. There's that day-by-day teaching, that day-by-day instruction, that day-by-day growth. And Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. He said, I'm past that now. There are some childish things that we all have gone through. And it's a sad thing when a man or a woman has been saved for a number of years and they're still a child, a babe in Christ. And when that happens, there's a deformity. When we stay a little child, there's something wrong. That little baby back there, if he was to stay in his mother's arms, as sweet and precious as he is now, but if 4 or 5 years down the road it's still the same way, we know there's a problem. Same way spiritually. When we stay where we are, anemic, and Paul talks about having to feed those Corinthian people with milk when he should have been able to feed them solid food. He said, but you haven't grown. You haven't matured to that point. He said, so I'm having to feed you with milk. And he called them babes in Christ. Just little children. Well, there's a reality. A changed life takes place, and that change is a process. Now, salvation is not a process. You don't start a process of being saved. You get saved, and then the process of growing takes place, and you grow in the grace of God. I know some preachers and some not too far from here that believe almost, well, they do. They probably wouldn't call it this, but they believe in a progressive salvation. You just get a little more saved every day or a little more saved every year until you finally arrive and, I'm saved. That's heresy. I don't care if they do call themselves Baptists. That's heresy. We don't get a little bit now and a little bit later. Like Brill Cream, a little dab will do you now and a little bit more later. No, we don't have that now. I know I dated myself. Some of you don't even know what Brill Cream is. Some of you kids. Anyway, we have a reality of a changed life. changed, taken place. And then we have hope of eternal life. Aren't you glad this is not all of it? If this would be all of it, my. But if this was all of it, I'd still rather have this as what they've got. If all I've got right now is what I've got, I'd rather have that, wake up in the morning, know where I've been, know what I've done, and enjoy life tomorrow. Oh, but we have something better. The latter part of verse number 4. These, that you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside giving this all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. And if these things be in you and abound, if these things are in your life and abound, you shall never be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have hope of eternal life. As far as I'm concerned, and if you're saved, as far as you're concerned, hell is gone. It's gone. You're not going to have to go there. You're not going to have to experience it. You're not going to have to be fearful of it. It's gone. And heaven is awaiting. Hell is no longer a part of our life. But heaven is a place where Jesus said, I've gone. And there in that place called heaven, I prepare a place for you. And where I am there, you may be also. And I will come again. And receive into myself that where I am there, you may be also. That's what we dealt with a little bit this morning. So we have some wonderful promises. We have some exceeding precious promises. And we have those because we have obtained. Really and truly, I believe the key verse is verse number 1. We have all these things because we have obtained like precious faith. We've been born again. I'm saved, saved, saved. Thank God tonight to have life eternal, have a home in heaven, have the joy of the Lord, have faith before us, and when struggles come, I have the Lord to help me, have the Holy Spirit that lives in my heart. What more could we ask for? I mean, what more could God do for us? He's given us everything. And these are those great, exceeding precious promises that the Lord has given to every believer. It's a common salvation. Everybody's the same. The man in India is going to go to heaven just like the man in America. The tribesmen of Nigeria are going to go to heaven just like the man on the street corner of America. It does not matter. Salvation is a common salvation to all that will believe. May the Lord help us to tell people all they don't want to hear it. I don't know why they don't want to hear it. They may think us foolish and may think us crazy, but we're still being commissioned of the Lord to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the only cure to the problems and the ills of this world. Jesus Christ. May we uplift Him, may we uphold Him, and may we tell the world Jesus saves. Let's stand together tonight.